Let's stand in honor of reading the scriptures. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, and that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear. Our fathers, we bow before you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the hope that you have given us. We're thankful for the truths that we've heard preached this week. We're thankful that we're eternally secure, sanctified, and headed home. I'm thankful that though we live in a world that is changing, not for the better, but for the worse, there are some things that remain the same. Father, our inheritance with thee will never be diminished. And Father, we praise you for that. We praise you for everything that you've given us. Thankful that you've shed grace and mercy upon us. I think we could all agree this morning we do not deserve thy loving favor. But you've been kind to us. And Father, we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I want to use verse 27 this morning as I speak to you. I want to speak on four things which can never be shaken. In verse 27 it says, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. It's very encouraging in a world that is full of change and decay that there are some things that can never be shaken. In Hebrews 12, we learn that a time of shaking is to be expected. I believe we're going through a shaking right now. I do not believe it'll ever get any better. The closer we see Christ returning, the worse it's going to get, as far as the world is concerned. If you expect the world to change in our dominion, I think you are living in a fairy tale. Because our world is on a downward slide. And it didn't just start. It's been going on for quite some time. But we read here that the writer of Hebrews predicts that there is coming a terrible time. A time in which in the world everything will begin to change, except certain things that can never be shaken. You may be knocked down, but if you're a child of God, you cannot be knocked out. Amen. Though our world may be going down, we're not going down. We're going over. We have a lot to be thankful for. Though we look around us and see things that are fastly decaying, we have a foundation built under us that will never be dissolved. It will never be removed, guaranteed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. It's what the Bible says. A great shaking, as I've said, is going on today. We read in the Scriptures. This great shaking that's going on, we should recall what the Lord says. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of people that I've been disappointed in this year. People that I thought were stronger than what they were. There is a fear in our land. A fear like I have never seen in my entire life. People that were bold and would make a bold witness and big statements seem today to be hiding under a mask or hiding in their homes or desiring a shot. And I'm not saying I'm against any of those things, but in a time that we ought to be seeking the great physician, we find people seeking the wrong physician. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock." I'm afraid that's a problem. There's a lot of people that are professors that are not possessors. They've built on the wrong foundation. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is like the foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. I'm afraid there's way too many scribes in our day and not enough people that are preaching and teaching with authority. The authority that we have comes from this book, and it's in Jesus Christ. Have you heard from God lately? If you've not read your Bible, I promise you, you have not heard from God. If you want to hear from God, get in the Word of God, because that is how God has chosen to speak to this age, through the pages of the written Word. And like one brother said, if you cannot hear Him and you'd like to hear Him talk out loud, then stand up and read the Scriptures out loud. Because you can hear from Him if you're His child and you get in the Word of God. But what we find here is that Jesus said that all that is not built upon the rock will fall. Only things of eternal value will stand. I don't know how it is here. I'm afraid I know. Everywhere you look, whether you're in a rural area or a large area, this is a time of chaos and confusion. And what does God say about that? He's not the author of confusion. Everywhere there's chaos, there's confusion, collapse on an unpredicted scale. Our civilization, as we once knew it, has been shaken to its very core. And isn't it amazing that a little virus seems to be used in this time? Who knows? Did they send it purposely? Did it accidentally get out? I have no answer for that, but I do have an answer here. No matter how it came or where it came from, God has decreed it to happen. And if there's ever been a time that we need to cry out to God Almighty, it's during this time. I've told the saints at my church, I want to be found faithful during this time, not sitting on my laurels, scared to death. Our economic and our commercial life is being shaken as never before. I never had much laid away anyways. But the way it's going, there's a lot of folks that's going to suffer financially, politically. Political life stinks. It's just like walking in the chicken yard. You cannot go in the chicken yard without getting some on you. And I am convinced you can't hardly be a politician unless you smell a little bit like what's in the chicken yard. But think about how our political life has suffered. It's a crying shame that we don't have anybody any better than we do to stand up and run for political offices. It's a shame that people that are being labeled as our Savior are as far from our Savior than anybody could ever be. Political life has suffered, is suffering, and the course of this general shaking has not only reached into the political realm, it has came into the sphere of religion. The foundations of the faith are assailed. The Bible is denied. Secularism has entered our churches. All kinds of heresies are becoming more and more prevalent and more powerful. People like us are being set aside. We're being labeled all sorts of things. And yet we constantly hear people crying out for unity. The only unity they want is if you disagree with this book. They'll tell you, no, we all love God. No, we don't all love God. Not the same God. Is it any wonder, therefore, that when moral and spiritual values have been so badly shaken, there's a tremendous increase in immorality? The way that many people are teaching must not be working. Amen? The foundations of Christianity, and people you would think would know better, I've seen them change their views, and you have too. Immorality, rebellion. For the last several years, people talk about having peaceful protest. Those two words don't even go together in my vocabulary. Don't look like it's peaceful. And I think there's a lot of better things to be doing besides protesting. If we are God's children, we ought to be staying in this book, declaring, thus saith the word of the Lord, and looking for a city whose builder and maker is the Lord. One of the old time preachers of long ago, someone asked him, what do you think about our world? He said, our world is a sinking ship. It's not getting any better, but I'm not going down. I'm going over. Thank God that there are some things, there's another side of the picture. There are some things that will never change, some things that cannot be shaken. And the only way they are secure in your heart is if you belong to Jesus Christ. Make your calling and election sure. People making professions of faith and not truly born again. And I believe sometimes preachers and churches are going to be very much accountable for the people they've talked into being saved or make a decision. I know how a few of you believe. I think I know how a lot of you believe. But I don't believe you're saved by your profession of faith. I believe if you're truly saved, you'll make a profession of faith, and that's evident that you've been born again. If God has given you a new heart, that's the only time you ever desired the things of God. No hog ever wanted to get out of the wallow. And when we go back to the wallow, we see what the Bible tells us, a true proverb. Because when God changes a man's heart, that man is new. But thank the Lord for some things that cannot be shaken. The throne of God. The highest throne of all thrones. The throne of God can never be shaken. Though our world may seem to be falling apart, the throne of God remains secure. We turn to Psalms 45 and verse 6. Lamentations 5 and 19. And we can lift up our hearts with gratitude that whatsoever happens this side of eternity, God's throne will never change. It'll always remain the same. The psalmist said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Thy scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. O thou, Lord, remainest forever, thy throne from generation to generation." No matter how this world changes, God's world will always be the same. He never changes. His throne is secure. Today we have to look above the things of time. You may live to be 90 years old, you may live to be 100, but that's not eternal. Some people live longer this side of eternity than others, but all people live the same forever. Because we're eternal beings. We're headed to an eternal home. So we have to look above time and find things that are permanent. Now, if you find all your focus this side of eternity, I'm sure you're really shaken. The psalmist said, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof." Selah, there is a river, a stream whereof shall make glad the city of God, a holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Even the heavens one of these days is going to be shaken. Isaiah 34 and verse 4 it says, "And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and the falling of the fig from a fig tree." But God, God who is above the heavens, He is eternal. He is immutable. Nothing can shake Him. Nothing can change Him. Hallelujah and glory to the Lamb of God forever. He is always the same. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. And thy year shall not fail." It certainly should be a great encouragement for every child of God to know that when everything else has fallen and everything else is shaken, that the throne of God can never be shaken. We must, of course, reckon with God's throne one of these days. It is a throne of grace. And it's also a throne of judgment. Are you a subject of the King who sits upon the throne of heaven? That'd be in your best interest to be so. The Word of God can never be shaken. Thank God for His Word. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. When we take our Bibles in our hands, we are holding the Word of God. The truth of God. And we better know what it says, and we better know how to rightly divide it. This is God's Word. This is His book. And what it has said from eternity. It's settled forever and ever and ever. Isn't it a shame how some people get up and try to preach the Word of God and change the whole meaning of the Scriptures? Very dangerous. Very dangerous. We take in our hands a Bible. We can say three things about the Word of God. Its promises can never be changed. They can never be shaken. There are over 30,000 promises recorded in the Scriptures. And I guarantee you not a single one of them has ever failed. Second of all, it has power. The Word of God has power like no one has the power. Our Word doesn't really mean much. But this Word settles it all. This Word has power to convict. This Word has power to change. This Word has power to secure. This is the Word of God. You dirty, bathe in the pages of the Scripture. Its power will never change. Its prophecies. Its prophecies can never be shaken. They can never be altered. They can never be rewritten to suit me or to suit you. What God's Word says, it must be and it must come to pass. Thank God that what He's decreed, it's going to come to pass. I grew up where every once in a while a preacher would come in with his chart. And he'd point out different things, and he'd tell you what was going to happen, when it was going to happen, and how it was going to happen. I've lived long enough to see a lot of what they said was going to happen didn't happen. I've lived long enough to figure out the only one that really knows is God, and anybody that comes along and tells you that they know, you write them off as a false prophet. Now, there's some things that we have a good idea on. But I'm afraid when Jesus comes, it's going to change a lot of people's theology or eschatology. All I know is He's coming back one of these days, and He's promised to do that. And I'm looking for Him. I'd much rather Him come and rapture the church out of here than me have to go to the cemetery. I've never been crazy about dying. He's coming back one of these days. And thank God that in a world of shaking and chaos, the Word of God can be our chart. The Word of God can be our compass. And it is secure. The Bible is thoroughly, thoroughly reliable. The Church of God. When there's a lot of things wrong in this world, there are still some things that are right. And I believe in the local church. I don't believe in a universal church. If you do, that's your business, but I don't. I believe when you read in the Bible, you read of a local congregation of believers called out local assembly, the ecclesia. I have no authority in this church. I'm a guest here, just as the majority of you are. But do you know what? Who is the head of every local church? Not the pastor, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church of God, the true church, can never be shaken. Matthew 16 and 18, and I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Down South Arkansas, a lot of the larger churches have taken Baptists off of their sign. Somebody said, does that bother you? No, I wished a lot more of them would. It don't bother me one single bit. We're not taking it off our sign. Well, Baptists won't get you into heaven? No, probably not. But I remember Sunday school teacher teaching me this. I'm Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. I'm ashamed of a lot of people that call themselves a Baptist. They don't know what the Bible teaches from butter cake. Friends, the Word of God goes right along with the local church. And if you're not involved in a local church, you're not right with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this statement, the Lord assured, well, preacher, don't you know there's a lot of churches that are false? Yes, but according to what Jesus said here, until He returns, He'll have some Bible-believing, teaching, preaching churches till He takes us home to heaven. And I want to be a part of one. They're going to help us in this day and time. They the only hope that we've got, not saying Christ is not, but in a world so full of chaos, we need to get to those places where they tell us the truth. Where people are going to put their arms around you and love you and tell you there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. But locals' assemblies have been attacked like never before. I've never seen the lack of people that think the church is not important. Last Sunday's first Sunday, I preached in a month to some live-eyed people. And the preacher filled in for me. He said, when Brother Mike comes back, he's going to probably try to make up 4 weeks on Sunday morning. My boy had the COVID. We didn't have it, but we had to be quarantined. And then 2 weeks of ice storm, couldn't nobody get there. I've missed more church in the last year than I have in my 52 years of living on this earth. And it burdens my heart. We didn't lose many people during the virus. We lost a few. Someone asked the other day, do you think they're coming back? No, I don't. They said, why? You sound pessimist. I said, we have been here for a whole year. They've not contacted the church. They've not sent one red cent to the church. That tells me they don't care if their church makes it or not. I've got a group of old ladies that can't get out. They live in assisted living. And the third of the month, they're going to send their tithes and offering to the church. And they hadn't been there in a whole year. And they don't have a lot to send, but what they send comes from their heart, and it's right, and they know that that's what God expects of them. Don't tell me how much you love the local church if you won't support it in tithes and offering and by showing up. We don't have bake sales. We don't have rummage sales. We don't stand on the corner and beg for a nickel. We support our work with tithes and offering out of people's generous hearts. And if a fella don't send a tithe in over a year, that'd tell me he don't care one thing about his church. Now, I told the secretary that about 2 weeks ago, and we got a check for $1,000. I said, are they listening to me? And that was in that little group of people. But I'm ashamed of people that don't come to the house of God. Deacons and Sunday school teachers. Oh, we're trying to stay well. Walmart, they love that place. The true church is secure. If your church dissolves, it probably ought to. But if it's a true church, may not be a large group of people, but we still have the Lord's promise, fear not, little flock. Stay faithful, stay with the Lord. Lastly, a child of God can never be shaken. Oh, we can be shook up, but we can never be shook to a pushing out. There are many biblical promises that assure us of God's concern for His children and of His pledge to keep them secure and to keep them safe until they get home to be with Him in heaven. John 10, one of my favorite passages, beginning there in verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father, which gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, or principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. If a virus shakes you up and puts you out of the faith, probably because you never was in the faith. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I think every saint of God should rejoice. I think we ought to praise God in this age that we're living in, that during these days of shaking, there are some things that can never be removed. And if you're on the foundation of the solid rock, you are secure, you are safe, you're in the hands of God, whatever comes our way. And we ought to be making the declaration in this day and time about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I've got too much to do for Christ to get tied up in worldly matters that's not going to matter in the end. Amen.